Welcome to the Level Up Podcast. Our goal is that by listening to our podcast, you will be inspired to level up. With the help of some amazing guests, we'll be inspired by some inspirational success stories and find out how you can level up your business, your life, and your relationship with yourself. Because I know that by leveling up and balancing these three aspects of your life, you can make a difference and impact the lives around you. Level Up Podcast will be a series of interviews featuring successful professionals who are making a mark and a difference in their lives and others. They will share their incredible stories of how they did it, so you can be inspired and learn from the very best.
Well, first of all, thank you so much for taking the time. This is going to be one of those just easy. I think for me, it's always that podcast is getting to know each other, getting to know you. Our audience will take tons of benefit by the things that I was reading about you. And I know we're going to be able to share some amazing gold nuggets for them to go out and you know, apply it in their business and their career. Again, I'm in the lending side. I've been a lender for over 15 years. And I love my side of the business because I get to put together those deals, approvals. And then obviously I work with many realtors, and I know you've been doing amazing with eXp, but we're going to start with the beginning. Who is John? Where is he from? Where was he born? Give us a little bit of your story. We love to get to know you a little better.
Yeah. So originally from Taiwan, I was born there. I'm 44 years old, and we moved over here to Canada in 1991. And, you know, being 11 years old and really being in a foreign country, I really didn't have a lot of support. Although my mom and dad were here, my siblings who were older were never here with me, right? So they stayed back.
Okay.
And so I was here, and my mom and dad would go, you know, back and forth between Taiwan and here. And so most of the time I was actually alone. I did have some family friends that were here, kind of supported me. But it really wasn't a lot of support. I had a place to live. I never starved. But like in a foreign country, being Asian, you know, I was bullied a lot, and I was, you know, I wouldn't say victim of racism or whatnot, but it was like, definitely there was some discrimination back in the 90s, especially, and, you know, dealt with that, which I think, started my whole journey in like really overcoming adversity as a young person. And that all, things actually didn't get that much better into high school, into university. And I used those negative experiences to help me, to motivate me today.
Right.
Yes. So I, graduated in psychology in 2003.
Okay.
And didn't really know what I was doing in my life, and didn't have a direction, didn't have a target. I just knew that I wanted to be successful, but I was actually very lazy. I procrastinated a lot on everything I did. It was a miracle that I even finished university. But in 2002, I met this gentleman in Taiwan, and his name was Will. He was a Caucasian gentleman. And I asked him, like, Will, what are you doing in Taiwan? And here he was Tuesday afternoon. I'm like, don't you have to work? He's like, no, I'm retired. I'm like, what? How old are you? He said, 42 years old. And I was 22 at the time. And I said, wow, okay, well, Will, I want to be just like you. I want to be retired at 42. And he said, go read the book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So that was the first introduction you got to, okay, this is what you need to do.
Yeah, exactly. And that kind of just changed my whole trajectory, because I read that book. I went and got that book right away, and I read that book in its entirety. And I was like, wow, this is mind blowing. You know, obviously every time I read the book, I read something different because you're at a different stage of your life. But at that time, all I understood was I need to have residual income so then I can be free from working actively.
Right.
And how was I going to buy enough real estate to be able to do that? Was, okay, let me go and sell real estate, learn, and then build up capital so I can buy real estate, so I can get out of the rat race and be retired. So that really started my whole journey. Took my time, kind of traveled a bit, worked a little bit in retail, and then got into real estate 2006. And it wasn't really a smooth road there either.
I was going to ask you, so you got in 2006, and what happened in 2008?
Yeah, 2008. I mean, you guys probably started feeling it 2006, 7, 8. Mm-hmm. I started feeling it only in 2008 because the market was still very strong 2006 and 7 when I got in. But it wasn't easy for me. I'd only did 2 sales my first 6 months, and I earned $2,500. And then the next full year, I then did 17 transactions. And, you know, back then, that was a lot of transactions for a young person, yes. 27 years old. And, you know, you don't know what to do with that money. I thought I had made it. You know, I thought this is it. I'm good. And then I started spending a lot of money. And just buying into my own ego. I bought a car, I bought jewelry, I bought bags for my girlfriend, and I was immediately in not a lot of debt, which then drove me even more into overcoming that next adversity. So my whole career is all about overcoming adversity after adversity after adversity. And each and every time that adversity came, it made me stronger.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I think that every person in life and in their career must overcome adversity to go to the next level, right? Absolutely. And it's I'm still going through it right now because, you know, life isn't all up. It's up and down.
Up and downs. And yeah. Like you said, something very interesting, and I love the way you put it. Every stage of your life, you will have different adversities that you have to overcome. You know, maybe at 22, 23, you have things. And now that you look back, oh my God, that was nothing, right? Compared to now, the things you have to deal with or the things you have to now overcome. And that is amazing. I love what you touched about, you know, coming here as an immigrant and having to deal with all those things. Because, again, I'm Mexican and I came here at 18 years old. Very cool, very similar to yours.
Right.
I did not speak a word of English. So it was the first thing I'm like, I need to speak English, right?
Right.
And it's just so interesting how so many of us come in with, you know, having to face those challenges, and our journey begins by being able to overcome them. And as we move on, then we learn, you know, different things and different opportunities that, you know, will show up in our journeys. And you having that gentleman, Will, that got you at 22, that's amazing. I got exposed to network marketing at 19 years old.
Oh,
it was so interesting because, again, concepts, ideas of, you know, duplicating your efforts, making a percentage rather than everything of your own efforts. So, I mean, it is interesting. You know, we all have things that, you know, make a difference on how we see life.
Absolutely.
And those challenges and obviously those things that we overcome, again, determine what we do with our lives going forward. So thank you for sharing that. So, again, real estate. Tell me a little bit more about who got you into real estate. I know you read the book, but it was somebody specifically who invite you into. Here's a career that you might be able to, you know, benefit by. How did real estate show up for you?
Yeah, it was because of that book that I got opened up to the idea that real estate was a vehicle to build wealth and the vehicle to build freedom. And so I looked into it myself and said, okay, I can get into this. And I can sell real estate and invest, right? And, you know, what I did was actually my first transaction was I took my own commissions, which were pre-construction, and I put that commission into buying a piece of real estate for myself.
Oh, wow.
Right, my first transaction. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't count that as one of my transactions as $2,500 that I earned in the first 6 months.
All right.
And so, you know, the first 2 years were good. And then 2008 hit and I went from 17 transactions down to 10 transactions. I went from making $104,000 down to $48,000. But my lifestyle then was over $100,000.
Right, right.
So to the young people that if you're listening to me right now, that's what you'll go through. You don't have to go through that. Because I was a little bit boastful. I was like, you know, I thought I made it. But if you can stay humble, you know, all the way until you make over seven figures, you would have purchased a lot of real estate and be able to build it faster than I did. I hope the young people that are listening to me right now don't
make the
same
mistake. And that's what I wanted to take with this. I want you to focus on those young people, because we do have, for some reason, I see it on our market in LA, there's so many young real estate agents, people coming into the business. And I'm like, gosh, like you just said, if you only knew what I know, if you only apply the things that we have been able to, you know, go through, now you can make it and don't have to take you, you know, 10, 15 years to get the results you want to have.
Exactly.
So talk to them. I love that.
Yeah. So stay humble and save your money. And, you know, at the end of the year, you know, something's coming. There's only two things that are constant ever in this universe, death and taxes.
Love it.
So, you know, you got to be smart about it, and you have to put away at least 25% of your income. Excuse me. So then at the end of the year, you won't be surprised. No matter how you look at it, put away 25%, probably more in California and in BC where I live.
Yeah.
Right. So I was $80,000 in debt in 2008. It was very quick, because I stepped in with $15,000 in debt.
There you go.
And next thing you know, I was $60,000 in debt. And then I said to myself, okay, well, I just met the love of my life. I'm going to propose to her, but I don't even have the money to go buy a ring. So I got another loan for $20,000 to go and buy her a ring, which I did. And then I proposed to her. She said yes. Then I got another hill to climb, which is paying for the wedding, $40,000. All while being, you know, in debt, $80,000. So I was pretty desperate, Bertha, right? And that, I think it was around August 2008, I got an email from Mike Ferry himself, well, obviously from his assistant. He said, come to Newport Beach, California, to the Sales Talk Workshop, and we can teach you how to sell and get you to the next level of production. I'm like, okay, I'm in. I don't know what I'm doing. So luckily my sister, she just moved to Vancouver, but she had lived in West Covina for 33 years.
Wow. Okay.
So luckily I had a place to live, and I got another loan, you know, put it on my credit card. I flew there, and then I drove from West Covina to Newport Beach, and then we took the seminar, and he's like, sign up and you will have the life of your dreams, right? And I was like, oh my gosh. I looked at the contract. It was $1,500 Canadian per month, right?
Wow.
And of course, I didn't have the money. But this one gentleman came by, and he was like, yeah, you got to sign up. It's your only way to keep your head above water. Everything's going to go to shit. I was like, okay, fine. I'll sign. And I ended up signing the contract, and I did what the coach told me to do, Bertha, but I did not have any results whatsoever for 6 months.
Wow.
You know, no sales, but I was prospecting. I was working hard. I was grinding away, and listing after listing, you know, just got away from me. Buyer after buyer got away from me. But I never quit, because I knew that I had no other option. I knew that my back was against the wall. So I said, you know, I can't give up, because my degree allowed me to earn $30,000 as a social worker, which nothing wrong with that, but I wouldn't be able to pay off my debt. So right. You know what? Let it be $100,000 debt. Who cares? Let me just go for it and let's see what happens. And sure enough, March 2009, I did my first transaction after not having done any for 6 months.
Uh-huh.
And then it was 33 transactions in a row after that. I was on fire.
I got goosebumps, because you know what it is? A lot of times, what they said, that success is exactly at that point where most people will quit and say, you know what, forget it. It's not working. And look, it's amazing. That's a great story. Thank you so much for sharing that. I think, guys, listen to that. It's so important that we don't give up.
The young people listening to this, if you are thinking about quitting right now, you're likely 3 feet away from gold. And you just need that first transaction to come through to close for you to build that momentum from there. It's like an avalanche afterwards. And trust me, after those 33 transactions, I never took a chance ever again, Bertha. I said, I never want to be broke again, and I will never stop working. Which, good and bad, because I started working 7 days a week, 12 to 14 hour days for 10 years straight.
I was going to ask you that. My goodness, I looked at your work ethic, said he's known for working 12 to 40 hours days, 7 days a week. Tell me.
How in the world?
Wow.
Yeah, it was, it wasn't fun, but I knew how to work and I knew that I never wanted to feel like that ever again. But good and bad about that was I learned that I could become a beast, right? In my work, that I knew that nothing was going to get me down. And remember all those experiences as a young person, as a kid, growing up with all the adversity after adversity after adversity, I was like, you know what? Let me just prove to myself that I can stand up to anything. You can throw me anything and I will keep moving forward. And so that's what drove me to work at such a high level, to a point. So 2013, where I've been working five years like that, 7 days a week. And I remember I would go home to my parents' place and my dad, he would always tell me, you should come home more. You should come home more. So you're just getting old, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I would be home for 15 minutes, Bertha. You know, I would, you know, eat my meal and I'd be super quick and I'd be like, you know, gotta go to work now. Gotta make you proud, Dad. Gotta be successful.
Yes.
Because growing up, he gave me a lot of pressure. He said, you know, you're going to amount to no good. You're lazy. You're a procrastinator. You know, the Asian thing, right?
Right.
So well, you never Mexican got the approval.
Too. The Mexican,
Mexican too, right? Yeah.
The same thing. We get to, it's so funny. Our cultures are so similar in so many ways.
Very similar. Yes. Yeah. So the approval from your parents is like unheard of. Okay.
Yes.
But when he said to me, come home more, it warmed my heart because I know, well, A, he was getting old and B, I was growing to be a man now. Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you know, that October, my mom calls me and she said, you know, your dad has some troubles breathing. We're going to go to the hospital. And so I showed up at the hospital and the doctor tells us, you know, your dad needs a quadruple bypass surgery. There's no other way. But I didn't know that because I was so detached from what was going on with my parents and with my dad's health. He said, you know, he has 7 stents in his heart. He cannot have the 8th. So we need to do a quadruple bypass surgery. And so when he went in, I asked the doctor, okay, well, what's the success rate of this type of surgery? He's like, no worries, 98%. I was like, 98%? That's a sure thing, right?
Right.
He came out of the surgery. It was successful. And he was delirious for about 7 days.
Wow.
Delirious and not knowing where he was, what time it was, what year it was.
Oh, wow.
We were so worried. And then on the 7th day, he propped up and he recognized everybody. He knew what he was saying. He knew what he was doing. He was back.
Back to himself.
And that night on the 7th day, I sat down with him and we talked about life. He talked about his journey and becoming successful. And I was like, we're going to get you out of here. We're going to go for a meal. We're going to do a lot of fun stuff together, Dad. And he said, you know, the Tsai family is yours. You know, I was sharing with him that I've been working hard for the past 5-6 years since I've been getting to real estate. He's like, I know, son. I know. The Tsai family is yours. And I was like, what are you talking about? Because I have 2 older brothers and 1 older sister.
Mm-hmm.
13, 12, and 10 years older.
Wow.
Here I am, the baby of the family, and he gave me the reins of the family. And I was like, you know what? Don't joke like this. I'll see you tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So I shook his hand. I go, Dad, you know, I'll be back. So 3 o'clock in the morning, the nurse calls me and she said, I think you better come to the hospital.
Oh, wow.
3 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, what? I was just like delirious myself. And so we showed up, my mom, my wife and I, and we waited in the waiting room. And the doctor comes out and he says, unfortunately, you know, he's gone. Right. And he gave me a lot of technical words, which I don't understand. Right. Anyway, he's gone.
Wow.
So that was like the midpoint of my 10-year journey in working 7 days a week. It actually drove me harder right after that, because here I'm thinking, you know, the Tsai family is yours. How can you let your dad down?
Right.
Then I went into work even harder, even more intense, where, you know, I peaked at 149 sales in 1 year as a solo agent in 2016, but completely burnt out. My wife was about to leave me. I never saw my mom.
Oh my God. That's what happens sometimes, you know, as you get so dig into that, you just don't even have the time for any.
Nothing. And well, I drank a lot because I was so stressed out. And, you know, it was just wasn't healthy, right? So, right. You know, I started to work on things with my wife. I worked on being home more. But even then, like, I started to build a team since 2016, but wasn't very successful. Another turning point was 2019.
Okay.
Where EXP was introduced to me and, you know, we just ran with it.
Awesome.
And, you know, 5.5 years later, today, 2024, you know, I get to work from home. I get to be with my wife. I get to be with my two kids and, you know, truly living a blessed life, working 4 days a week now, 4 hour days. And I choose to, and I get to be with my clients. It's freedom, options, and choices when you have built up enough equity and residual income for yourself. Mm-hmm. So, you know, now whenever my mom needs me, oh, you need me to take you to the doctor? Sure. You need me to take you to, you know, grocery shop? Sure. You know, you want to come over and spend time with the kids? I'm here.
That's amazing.
Right. But before, I'm like, mom, I'm too busy.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's so funny you touch on that because a lot of times in our industry, and again, we've been around long enough where we've seen so many people get burned out or again, get in so much trouble because like you said, we get so busy, we get so caught up in the doing that we forget about, you know, enjoying life and finding again, ways of being present with our kids. So I have three, being present with our kids on, and you know, with your parents even, because we just get too busy and we don't have time. And we tell ourselves we don't have time because honestly, at the end of the day, if we were to go back, what would you change? Let's go there for a minute. If you were to go back, what would you change?
I don't think I would have changed anything in terms of what I went through.
Okay.
I mean, do I wish my dad was still alive today? Yes, absolutely. But there's some things that you cannot control.
No, absolutely.
Right. So since I knew that all these experiences made me who I am today, I wouldn't change a thing. I wouldn't change the mistakes that I've made. I would say that the only change or mindset shift that would advise my younger self is to enjoy the moment, to enjoy the journey. Because, you know, we are so focused on chasing after the next thing. And you know, for people like us who are driven to get after it, we're going to achieve the goals that we want, that we set for ourselves, because you know that we'll never quit. And you never quit, you never fail, and you always get to your goal. But why make it excruciating up coming up?
Exactly. So being present, enjoying the journey and taking, you know, whatever comes your way, you know, because at the end of the day, we're going to go through it. Like you said, you know, you're not going to give up. But now instead of just going, let's take a breather, you know, just enjoy the moment as you're going through it, you know, as you're going through the hearts and the ups and the downs, just enjoy and be present. I've always said that there is no perfect day, there is no perfect moment, but we can make it better if we start focusing on the good things that we have for that day.
It's all up here. Yeah, again, that's why we get on these calls at 5 a.m. You know, we focus on gratitude, focus on what we have, because what you focus on expands. And a lot of times I think agents and, you know, people in business, a lot of times they focus on what they don't want, which is, oh, I'm scared of this happening. I'm scared of that happening. Well, wait a minute. What are you focused on right now? Because if what you focus on expands, what do you choose to focus on?
Exactly.
Right? So if I were to tell my younger self, I would say, focus on the right things, focus on the joy, focus on the gratitude, focus on the journey, not the destination. Because every time I chased after a destination, there was another hill to climb anyways.
Exactly. So there's always another level. Yeah, there's always another level of success. There's always another goal to achieve. But yeah, enjoying the moment. How old are your kids, John? Are they little? You look
pretty
20.
Little, yeah.
You look like 20, to be honest. I'm like,
thank you.
You look like 20-something. How old are your kids?
My kids are young. So my oldest is 5, turning 6 in about 4 days. And then my younger one is only 3. She just turned 3.
That's awesome.
So super young.
Again, but, enjoy the moment. I always tell my friends with little ones, take lots of pictures. That's all we get to keep as they grow older and they move on.
I know. I'm just
taking lots of pictures. Take lots of pictures. Yeah. Don't look back and like, oh my God, I remember when they were this little. That's amazing. Well, thank you for sharing that part of you. I know that we definitely have an amazing Miracle Morning group of people that are obviously, like you said, we're focusing on the gratitude and on what we do have, not what we don't have. And that definitely changes the way you see your days. I always say, you know, if you start with the gratitude, you're going to have a day full of gratitude, things coming good to you because you're already manifesting that, you know, you have a good day rather than focusing on how, what's that going to be like.
So exactly. EXP, yeah.
So EXP came to you, you said 2019. Is that when you got exposed to EXP?
Actually, it was 2018, June. And we officially joined in 2019. And, you know, I would talk about this because you've been in network marketing before where, you know, 2009 and 2008, mm-hmm. where I was struggling in real estate, we were actually involved in USANA, which is a network marketing company that sells supplements. And I was quite good at it. And, you know, I got, but then I started doing, you know, so many deals that I had to give that up.
Right.
Right. So although I wasn't making sales in real estate, I was making sales selling supplements and recruiting.
So you're good at doing presentations and doing those group meetings, right?
I was getting pretty good at it and I had to quit, right? But even after that, my wife stayed with it. So we went to Utah for the conventions all the way to 2013. And so I'm like, gosh, why didn't someone invent this model in real estate, right?
Oh, and, my God.
Yes. And there, here comes EXP. I'm like, you listened.
It came right at the right time, right?
I had to, you know, really take the plunge and give myself a chance and say, maybe this can work. And it did work out really well. We're still selling real estate, but I'm personally out of production.
That's amazing.
Meaning, I don't go on listing and buyer appointments. However, I still communicate with my clients. You know, clients are they're the most important part of our business. Absolutely. And so I will never, you know, let go of that. And I will never abandon my clients because they made me who I am. They gave me the opportunity. They gave me the support. Okay. So I will always be there for them. But in terms of actual going out on appointments, I'm out of production. And it's only because, and it's spent, that was my goal to get out of production, but EXP sped it up, I would say, at least 5 years.
That's amazing. I was going to ask you about that. So what is your role currently with EXP and BC and Canada?
Yeah, so I was the first president of EXP Realty Canada last year.
Okay.
From March 2023 to March 2024. Okay. And I stepped down after March. And as you know, I was flying 3 to 5 times a month. And I just said, you know, enough is enough. I think I did a good job in promoting the company. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to focus on my girls because although they probably won't remember dad was so busy, I will remember seeing their little faces. So I didn't want to live with that myself. Right. I know I could make more money doing that probably, but it just wasn't worth it. Yeah.
No, in the time, you know, I do remember when my kids were little, I used to work part-time. And now that my kids are older, now I get to go back into the business and do more because now it's always timing. I always look back and I was in every single recital. I was in every single practice. I was in every single, you know, I was a room parent. I was the manager for their teams when they play soccer. And now I get to do other things because I was able to spend, and it was things because of the business that we're in, where you have that flexibility to be able to, again, like yourself right now, you don't want to focus on the girls. They're little. They need me now. I want to remember. Like you said, they might not remember, but I will remember. So
exactly.
That's amazing that we get to choose, that we get to decide, okay, this is the time that I'm going to do this because this is what they need me the most. And now I'm able to do a lot more things. But yeah, my kids are 23, 19, and 14. So I'm almost done.
Yeah, you're almost done, mama.
I am almost done.
Empty nester soon.
I don't want to call empty nester because they said that's a negative word. So I'm going to call myself free bird. So I can get
free bird. Love it.
I said, no, free bird. So I can fly and do more things. That's amazing. Talk to me about that book. I was, again, looking through your accomplishments. Oh, man, that book. I'm gonna have to go get it and read this book. Tell me a little bit about how that came. And obviously, you mentioned something already, said, you know, how to become that beast. I needed to be that person. Tell me about your book.
Yeah, it's the 13 Iron Laws of, you know, peak performance. And I think it's basically my journey of an upcoming as a real estate salesperson, as a person in general, my personal development journey, all in one book where basically my journey from 2002 to all the way to 2022.
Okay.
You know, and I have a continuation of the next book, which is about leadership.
That is right? Beautiful. Okay.
But this is individual performance where, you know, every single law in there was about mindset most first and foremost.
Okay.
And how to become a beast is basically, you know, a beast basically is saying like becoming something bigger than you are right now.
Bingo. And right? I think that book will be amazing for all the real estate agents. So all the realtors out there need to get their hands on this book, because again, you're going to be showing them what you went through and how you documented, I guess, your journey and putting this book together. So 13 Laws for Sales Performance. So definitely we need to put link in the podcast so they can get their hands on this book. I'd love to
myself
a copy and definitely read it and promote it as well. So what are you doing now? What are you working on? Is there any projects you're currently focusing on other than, I know you have already mentioned about taking time to be with the girls and only working 4 hours a day, 4 days a week. I love that schedule.
Yeah, it's great. And then I get to work on a lot of different projects. Right now, we're working on a coaching program to really, you know, I know that Will, wherever you are, Will, you gave me the gift at 22. Mm-hmm. And I want to pass on that gift. I'm 44 now, you know, so every 20-year-old that I see, I want to give the gift to. And however, I feel like I do a lot of free coaching. I do a lot of free mentorship. People call me and I'm like, you know, I'm always happy to help, give you my time. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times I feel like if I don't charge for coaching and put it in a program, people don't value it and people don't actually take it seriously. So not so much I want to make a lot of money from it, but I feel like if you pay, you pay attention. So that's what I've been working on, a coaching program. And our team, you know, we want to go to 100 agents, sell 400 homes this year. And, you know, for my EXP group, I want to grow it to 2,000 by the end of the year. These are all very aggressive goals.
I was going to say, you have 1,000, basically. Now we need another 1,000. Okay, let's go.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? Becoming a beast is really thinking big. You got to think big, because if you're thinking anyways, you may as well think big, right? You got to be wanting to shoot for the stars. Even if you hit the moon, you're good.
Absolutely. Right?
So
absolutely. Well, thank you. You know, the funny thing is you just touched another two things that you and I are kind of aligned. I started my coaching company a year ago.
And it's amazing.
The same reason why you said about, you know, you help, you give advice, you always, you know, trying to push everybody else around you that need help. But it is so true. When they don't pay attention. And I've noticed that ever since I started, you know, having clients and now they actually pay, they go and apply whatever we discussed, whatever we talked about.
There you go.
Plan. So it is, I'm going to encourage you. And again, it's so fulfilling, you know, just seeing them getting the results, seeing them, you know, coming to the next goal when I apply this and this and this are the results. And it's just so rewarding. I can't wait.
Thank
love what I do in terms of doing the loans and getting that funded and people go excited about getting their home. But this, you're making a difference in someone's life and someone's career.
100%.
It's just at a whole different level. And again, it's just because thinking big, like you said, we can't think small anymore. And especially as the more experience you have, the more knowledge, the more wisdom, the more, you know, opportunities you have to share with the world what you've been able to, you know, learn and accomplish. So thank you.
Yeah.
Go out and explore it and just, you know, go big on that as well, because I know you'll make a difference in so many people's life and especially in a real estate community. You know, like Mike Ferry, I admire him because look at what he was able to do. Look at his business. It's just amazing how many people has been able to touch over the last, 30 some years that he's been a coach or more? I don't even know.
This is his 50th year.
There you
50
go.
50 years in doing what he does, and how many thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people, millions of people that he touched, how many people he connected, how many millionaires he's created out of this coaching program that he's created. It's not just about the coaching. It's all about the relationships that he created for us, the ecosystem that he created. So I will be forever grateful for Mike. And Mike, if you're ever listening to this, I love you like my own father.
That is amazing. And that's what I think a coach becomes in a sense. Yeah, it becomes your coach, your mentor, your role model. But there's so much difference that they make on us. That, again, the only way that I feel like we can pay it is, again, impacting other people's with the same, blessing someone else with, you know, with your knowledge and things that you have been able to, you know, find that work best. Because we can all go through the ups and downs. But what if there was a map that you can take? They'll take you from A to C. And you don't have to go through all those ups and downs as much. I mean, we'll have to, but what if we can find a way to avoid as many as we can possibly avoid?
Exactly. I want to be able to help people kind of avoid some of the pitfalls. You're never going to avoid all of them.
Exactly.
But at least if you have a roadmap that you can follow, that you can speed up your journey, why not?
Exactly.
And that's what we're here for.
And that's
we've been through it.
And that's what I think coaching does, you know, allows you to do that. Well, thank you for sharing. See, I didn't even know about the coaching until today. So thank you. Thank you. So what is John's mission today? Like, let's say you already have a lot of things in place, but what is your mission? What do you feel that is your call to do nowadays?
Wow.
That's coaching, what is the bigger mission? Because we're all here for a reason, right? And it's not just making money, and it's not just selling homes, and not just doing loans. Like, there's a bigger purpose. I feel that we have.
Well, I feel like I can help a lot of people, right? And whatever that looks like, to be able to help people get through the tough times, to be able to help them get them back on their feet, whatever it is, help them succeed. You know, that's what I'm looking to do right now. And I feel like there's a lot of people that are meant to do some stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but like I feel at my most alive when I'm speaking. So when I'm on stage and I'm contributing and I'm like pouring into other people, that makes me feel alive. I'm the most alive there. And if I can, I don't know how many times I've gotten off stage and people are like, you know, I really connected with what you said. I really am going to take it on. Mm-hmm. And people actually start to produce results from my voice.
Yeah,
I think that's what I'm called to do. And I'm going to follow it. I don't know what the future holds for me. I know I have goals, but if I can contribute in that way, I think that's what I'm called to do.
That's amazing. And I've seen some, and I have seen some of your videos. So you definitely have a very unique approach and how you deliver messages and how do you inspire people. So please keep doing it because we do need more like you, more people like you that can touch someone's, you know, life, and just because of what you said or the words you use or the way you connect and make them go and take action and do something with their life. So that is beautiful. And I think, again, there's no money that you get paid for that. I mean, yes, money is important, but I don't think there's money that you can get paid to, you know, to
yeah.
be able to do that.
I mean, the more you give, the more you get, and the more people you can help, you'll ultimately get what you want. So, you know, I'm paraphrasing Jim Rohn, right? But, you know, at the end of the day, like it's all about contribution and it's all about growth. And that's what I'm all about. And that's why, you know, I love doing podcasts because I get to share my voice. I have a lot to say, as you can tell.
We're all good. Keep doing it because, again, you're going to help someone. You're going to inspire someone today, I'm sure. By the end of the podcast, we go, oh, gosh, that's what I need to do next. That's what I needed to hear today. And we're all in different stages. You know, like a lot of people might hear something today, like, oh, they didn't really click until, again, a year from now. They're like, okay, now I'm ready. And that's
exactly.
What I think one of the beautiful things about the podcast and, you know, YouTube and all of this stuff, because you can go back and listen to, again, a podcast or a show or a video, and then you're like, okay, now I got this. One of the books that I personally love to read every single year, and I've been doing it for the last 10, Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. And every year that I read that book, something comes up. And it's just crazy. I'm like, oh, I read it 10 times already, or more than 10 times, but this time this clicked. I was ready to receive that information today. So I always say, you know, just go back and reread those books or go back and listen to the podcast because there might be something in there for you. The ones you're ready. What do they say about the teacher? When the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And it goes with everything, you know, with books, with videos, with podcasts today. But definitely, I think it's important that we're able to utilize nowadays. How do you feel about right now with our industry? I know a lot of people are still caught up in the sense of, oh, my God, the rates, you know, we're still dealing with all this stuff. And I know how Canada it is. I'm in California. And again, I always said, we can't control those things. Don't worry about it because there's nothing you can do about it. Just keep doing what you're doing and results will come. Obviously, you know, we have to work maybe a little extra to get those extra deals because, again, people sometimes are hesitant to make the decision based on what they hear on the news. But how do you see our industry nowadays?
Yeah, I was looking at the stats for the U.S. 2005, 7.1 million sales and 1.3 million agents.
Okay.
2015, 6.2 million sales and 1.2 million agents.
Okay.
Right? So per agent production is quite high, four or almost five. Last year, 2023, 4.09 million sales and 1.6 million agents. Wow. That's 2.5 sales per agent.
Mm-hmm.
What that means is a huge opportunity for agents who are committed.
Yes.
Because most agents looking at that, who don't want it bad enough, who are not willing to do what it takes, will quit. Right. So if you're listening to this right now and you're thinking about quitting, don't.
Yes.
Because the 2024 is your year. 2025, 2026, and beyond, if you're willing to keep with it, if you're willing to never quit, you're going to take so much more market share that you're going to come out on top in a couple of years from now. I promise you, because I've been there 2008. Give it a few years and you're going to become a legend because I never quit.
That is beautiful. Amazing. Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's what we have seen and what we experienced and we've been there before and it's just a matter of waiting and not giving up, you know, keep doing what you need to do and the results will come. And the big one, definitely do not give up because the moment you give up, then everything stops. There is nothing else you can do. That minute it's done.
You know, if you're going through a winter right now in your business, just know that spring is coming.
There we go. I love that analogy.
And even though you're going through the darkness right now,
mm-hmm.
What comes after darkness?
Sun comes up.
The sun will eventually come up.
Absolutely.
And you get ready during the dark times and the good times are coming.
Always.
I promise
always,
you.
Always, always. Awesome. Quick, another question. What is one of your proudest moments, one of the proudest things you've ever done, accomplishments that you have, you know, gotten and you're like, this is the proudest that I've ever felt? Anything you want to share?
I think being a father and being able to see my kids.
Oh, that's amazing.
Actually being able to put away my phone and spend time with them. Right. That's what I'm really proud of. And only because I've set my business up in a way that I can do that. So I'm proud of that. Right. And I'm proud that I'm able to see my mom.
That is beautiful. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. That's amazing.
Yeah. And that's, and I'm proud that, you know, my wife and I are still together. We never quit.
There we go.
She never quit on me because I was not easy to deal with.
That's amazing.
I'm proud of that.
And I'm sure she's very proud of you too, being able to be where you are nowadays and being able to be with your girls and having the lifestyle you guys have. You know, it's just again amazing to be able to have that opportunity to see, you know what, I was there, but now I'm here. You know, I was able to overcome whatever was in my way when I was going through it. So thank you for sharing that part. Something I always like to ask my guests, how do you want to be remembered? Because as you were sharing your dad's story, I was like touched. I was almost about to cry. I'm like, gosh, you know, we're here one day and we're gone the next day. Like, what do they always talk about? You know, today is the only thing we do have. Yesterday is the past and tomorrow, we don't know. but how will you want to be remembered?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you got to think like every time you see a person, it might be the last time you're seeing that person. So I always, when I get out of my house, go to work, I always hug my girls a little bit tighter because you just never know. And my mom, after like 70 some odd years of her life, started giving me hugs now because she knows there's a limited amount of time.
Right.
I think I want to be remembered as the guy that gave me the advice that helped me move from here to here. And I'm thankful for him.
That's beautiful.
If I can do that for my daughters, if I can do that for my family, I want to be remembered that as the guy that gave a lot. Because the secret to living is giving. Or else, why are you here? Right?
Absolutely. Thank you. That's a great, great, great advice. Be remembered as somebody who was a giving person. Because, there's a lot of takers, right?
There are, unfortunately, but you're not gonna know if you're a taker unless, and you're not gonna know if you're a giver unless there are takers, right? So you're never gonna know how good feels when there's no bad. You never know what happy feels when there's no sadness.
Absolutely.
So you need to have contrast in life.
We need both takers.
We need both to be able to feel the gratitude when you have it good.
Yes.
Right.
Now, quickly, let's go back to your morning routine. I know we're part of Miracle Morning. What is that looks for you today? And I'm sure it's different than what it was when you were in middle of production working those 10, 12 hours. But today, what was your morning routine looks like? Can you please share?
I would say the morning routine stayed the same, even though I'm out of production, because I always want to keep my mind strong. I want to keep being sharp.
Okay.
Right. So I wake up at 4:30 in the morning, I drink some celery juice, make sure I cleanse my system. And then I get into a little bit of a meditation and then take my pre-workout and I'm at the gym. So I'm at the gym, on the 5 a.m. call and I'm stretching, I'm doing some mobility. I'm making sure I warm up my joints and whatnot. Again, I'm 44 years old, so I don't want to get injured. Right. And then during the call, what we do is we do gratitudes, we watch inspirational YouTube, and then we do some affirmations, and then we do some breath work, and then we do some exercise, ab work and whatnot, and we go back to affirmations. So, I follow the book Miracle Morning, and you guys ought to try it as well. It's silence right in the morning. Do some affirmations, program your mind into some positive thinking, right? Visualizing your success, which is V. Right. And then next is exercise. You go to the gym for about an hour and a half. Next is I read 10 pages of a book, a real book, not an audible. And then I journal. Once I get back, I do all that and I journal in my little journal here. And I put down my goals, my challenges, my problems, my aspirations, and anything that I want to get out of my head. So once I do my savers in the morning, I'm good to go. By 7:30, my mind is ready. And I'm on fire. You can feel unstoppable after that. Like, because you've conquered so much from 4:30 to 7 already. Right? So after that, I would role play for an hour, 7:30 to 8 o'clock. And then I would prospect, get on the phone, call people until noon. And the afternoons, I go on appointments.
There you go.
Yeah. And today, I mean, it's not any different. I'm still doing the lead generation, opportunity generation for my team, right? I'm attracting agents. I'm doing the income producing part. And then in the afternoon, appointments and income servicing part. So my structure is still the same. Mornings are for getting business and the afternoons are for doing business. And I don't get it twisted. And now I get to quit, when I like afternoon, I'm free. That's why I get to do these podcasts in the afternoon.
That's amazing.
Because my schedule is open, right? And after this, I can get to see my girls and that's it.
That's amazing. Well, again, that morning routine, I think, like you said, it's crucial because it does set you up for the day.
Yeah.
And I've noticed that I meditate for like an hour every single day and that has made huge change the way I approach my days. And whenever I can't sit for the hour, I feel like I'm missing something. Like my day is just not ready. And it's just beautiful. I mean, quieting your mind, I think that's one of the biggest challenges that people have, especially
business
owners and, you know, high producers. You know, they're just, mind is always running, always going. And if you're able to quiet for a little bit, it's just great what you insights you get, the things you can, again, visualizing and just being able to be within yourself for that one. Again, we do it on the group, like you said, 10, 15 minutes sometimes, but I do my hour before I get into that. So I typically am up at 4 and I do my hour before I get into any of those tools. But definitely for me, meditation has been a game changer. Like it's just different.
Amazing.
And I encourage everybody, try it. I know it's hard at the beginning because it was for me, but if you can get through that part of, you know, always thinking, always getting off, you know, distracted, then you eventually will get it right. Again, not giving up. Not giving up.
The meditation is such a game changer that, guys, if you're grinding right now, working 7 days a week, I respect you. And you're probably thinking to yourself, I don't have time to meditate.
Right.
And when you have that thought, you don't have time not to meditate. That's exactly why you should meditate, so you can get more time back. Because if you do that, then your mind's clear. Then you become more efficient with your work instead of working unproductive hours, which you're not even aware of because your mind is all over the place. Exactly. So take it on.
I love what Jay Shetty said about meditation. He goes, everybody should meditate for at least 20 minutes. Unless you don't have time, then you should do it for an hour. And I love that. And he goes, yeah, everybody should meditate for 20 minutes. Unless you don't have time, then you should meditate for an hour. I'm like, I'm taking the hour for now.
Exactly. Yeah, I love that.
It's definitely important that we take time to be with ourselves and take that time to quiet your mind and just get on with your day and get ready for the day. Well, thank you so much. See, the time went so fast. I can't even believe the time. It's, oh gosh, I'm like looking at it like, oh wow, it's already 2:25. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Bertha.
A last thought that you'd like to share with the audience. I think we covered so much. I know there are so many good takeaways that they'll be able to take from this podcast and apply it in their business, apply it in their career. But any final thought you have that you'd like to share with us?
Going forward, in the second half of this year, if you're not in momentum, get in momentum.
Right.
That's all there is to it. And if you are momentum, keep going.
Keep the momentum.
Right? There's a lot of business to be done. There's the big opportunities out there in this marketplace. If you're willing, if you commit and you never quit, you will always succeed. Guys, go out there and get it. Such a pleasure today, Bertha.
Thank you. Looking forward
to seeing you in the future.
Yes, we'll definitely see each other at the Mike Ferry for sure. Have an amazing rest of your day. I know you have something else planned, and we'll definitely keep in touch. We'll put your information, the book, and everything on here so people can get in, you know, hold of that information that I know will be tremendous impact on their lives if they're able to apply it and take it. So thank you so much. Have an amazing day, and we'll be in touch.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Level Up Podcast. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Spotify, or anywhere else podcasts are found, so you'll never miss a show. While you're at it, if you found value in this show, you can leave a 5-star review on iTunes. Or if you'd simply tell a friend about the show, that would help us out too. Until next time, we hope you level up.